Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your episode for Tuesday, January 2nd, and Happy New Year, Pistons fans, as this is your host, Matt Shook, and we've got a Facebook page now, so I converted my journalist page to that one, so it's called Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Go ahead and follow us on Facebook there, along with Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and another underscore after that. We also got the Locked On Pistons Twitter account that you should be following, too. Just a quick programming note as we head into 2018, the new year here, so don't mess up those checks or whatever else you write the date on. Make sure that you catch that 18. Those errors always happen, especially early in January. But my schedule at work and whatnot is changing a little bit now. So the shows, I try to get them up and post them at 4 a.m. Chicago time, get them done late at night and set them for that time, 5 o'clock over in Detroit. But there might be some times that it might be more of a mid-morning launch for some of the shows. I'll try to get most of them at that same early morning time to get posted. But like I said, might be mid-morning for some of these shows to get posted as time goes on due to some things that are beyond my control. So I want to thank you guys for your patience on that. If you don't see it early in the morning on weekdays going forward, just keep in mind that it will be coming very soon and you should listen to it then. But today we're going to be running through the win Saturday against San Antonio at home at Little Caesars Arena at a rockin' LCA in downtown Detroit. My parents were there. I'm going to talk about their thoughts and reactions about the crowd, the Little Caesars Arena as well, from a couple of, you know, folks that like to stay in the house for the most part and don't get out to very many games. So to them, for them to get out to one was a special once in a year kind of treat for them to get to a Pistons game. And so their thoughts on the new arena I'll have a little bit later as well. We have to touch upon the Avery Bradley saga. Bad news of a report that came out from him on Friday afternoon after we released the Friday podcast. So we'll touch on that. I don't have a whole lot of profound or hot takes or profound thoughts about that, but we have to talk about it and lay down what we know at this point. And we're going to look ahead to the next few weeks of games as well, including some big NBA news that made this weekend a little bit easier for the Pistons. But draft.com is still a top sponsor of ours, and we have a draft Wednesday coming up this week tomorrow. So join us on the app and also on draft.com. Follow me on the app at Matt Shook, the handle there, Matt S-C-H-O-C-H. Use the promo code LOPistons when you sign up for your account. You'll get free entry into that draft. It'll be a $3 Wednesday draft. And once you follow me, I will invite you into the Wednesday league as well. But the big news in Detroit that I want to touch upon, because I know a lot of you guys are Detroit sports fans, not just Pistons fans as well. But Jim Caldwell of the Lions was fired early on Monday morning. I know that many of you maybe don't care about the Lions or don't want to hear my opinion about it, and that's fine too, but just wanted to. It's something I'm addressing on Twitter and something I wanted to address quickly here too. It was announced on 7:40 a.m. on Monday morning, January 1st, Black Monday as they call it, that Bob Quinn said he called Jim Caldwell before that. So firing a guy before 7:30 on New Year's Day seems inhumane to me, but if it weren't Jim Caldwell, I say they were probably too hungover for such upsetting news the day after New Year's Eve. But certainly, that's probably not the case with Jim. And that's one of the things we liked about him as the Lions coach. I also love in the presser how Bob Q said he started this morning thinking about candidates to replace him. Like, it hasn't crossed his mind before that maybe he should think about who the next coach of the Lions is going to be. But it's pretty funny GM speak this time of year that we're also hearing from other NFL teams after Black Monday too. But if you follow me on Twitter, I've been a little ranty about the Jim Caldwell thing. I don't have hugely strong opinions about this. I just feel like Jim Caldwell should have gotten another year. Most of my, you know, quote unquote strong opinion about it has been the lack of backup that he's gotten from Lions fans and the lack of anyone backing him up, really. It seems like, I mean, we talked about the Joseph Hayes column and a couple people responded in support of what he was trying to say. And I don't necessarily completely believe the racial aspect of what Joseph was saying. I think it's a component of it, just like it is in all facets of life for all of us these days, and mostly for African-American men and women. But most NFL coaches need a garbage year before being fired, and he never did. Basically, he met or exceeded or just fell short of expectations in every year that he was here, all four of those years. But in Bob Quinn, we trust, I guess. Though I will point out that in Jim Caldwell's Lions pre-Bob Quinn, the 2 years that he had, It's an identical mark as it was in the 2 years that Bob Quinn has joined the ship as well. 18-14 in the 2 years prior to Bob Quinn, and 18-14 regular season wise in the era after Bob Quinn got hired. And they were both 0-1 in both of those playoff spans as well. One time before Quinn was there with the Cowboys and one time after Quinn was there with the Seahawks. So it's not like Bob Quinn has had this magic wand or has even really done anything for the organization yet. And again, I'm not a huge Jim Caldwell fan. I'm just kind of surprised how quickly Lions fans have forgotten how terrible this franchise is and has been. It seems like 90% of the fans agree with the move, or maybe even more than 90%, of firing the guy who is the best Lions coach in franchise history, or at least the Super Bowl era or whatever, let's say the last 60 years. And I feel like the guy just deserves a chance to fail badly 1 year before he gets fired, like many of the coaches before him have. I also think that this next coming coaching hire should be Bob Quinn's only coaching hire, because many GMs get two, and that's kind of the norm. But I feel like keeping Jim Caldwell was kind of like half a hire, and firing him before he really should have gotten fired, if you look at the numbers, kind of puts pressure on himself and is maybe the other half of one hire. So he gets one, and he better make it a good one. And all my Lions friends who wanted to change right now, I say this: I'm very much looking forward to them winning a playoff game in year one with the new coach, and getting the Super Bowl with this new coach sometime in the next 5 years, because anything short of that, and this is pretty much a failure, because Jim Caldwell didn't really sufficiently get the chance to prove that he could do that. And like I said, he did enough in his 4 years to keep keeping his job for year after year, didn't have that one horrible year that gets a coach fired, and I think that he maybe in one more year would have had another chance to possibly get to the playoffs and get that win. And of course, we'll never know that now. But this is the type of move that sets a high bar for replacements in the franchise, and now it's time to live up to it. And I know January 1st, big college football day. We got the All-SEC final coming up. Some college football thoughts. I didn't even watch the Michigan game. I don't really quite understand why bowl games still exist other than the playoff. Who cares is kind of my thought. But I love that Central Florida won, and that you'll have a one-loss national champion next week with an undefeated team who never even got a shot. And I went to Central Michigan, so I definitely have got a mid-major bias, but how fucking stupid is it that we got an undefeated team that never even got a chance? And they beat the team who might have been the team that beat Alabama if they go on and win the national championship. Central Florida beats Auburn, Auburn beats Alabama. Central Florida is going to be undefeated. And if I was a voter, I'd say screw it. Just give them the first place vote. I know that's not how they decide national championships anymore, but go ahead and do that if anyone's got a vote in the AP poll that's listening here today. But the Pistons, like you're listening to this podcast, and I apologize if you don't care about my football rants there, but beat the Spurs a few days ago now on Saturday, 93-79, 20-15 to end the 2017 portion of the NBA slate. Are the Pistons fourth in the Eastern Conference by mere percentage points over the Washington Wizards, but the cushion of being in the playoffs is only two games over ninth place Philadelphia, a team that the Pistons will see in a couple of days on Friday night in the city of brotherly love. But the Pistons will return to action with a game at the Miami Heat on Wednesday, another red letter circle game, because it's another team that's going to be fighting in that same tier that the Pistons are in right now. But on Saturday in that win, career highs for Reggie Bullock, 22 points, and 20 points for rookie Luke Kennard off the bench, who did well enough to earn 30 minutes of playing time from coach Stan Van Gundy. Drummond had 14-21 in the post for the Pistons. Ishmael, although not really in the post for how he plays these days. Ishmael got the start with Reggie Jackson out. Again, 18 points for the backup turn starting point guard. Great effort defensively led by Anthony Tolliver, who struggled mightily offensively but did enough to stay on the court there. Dwight Bikes got some run off the bench, played pretty well. A really nice feature that I highly recommend on him from James Edwards III on The Athletic about his winding career and how it ended. That's definitely worth a read. It wasn't his NBA debut, as has been reported on the telecast by George Blaha on Saturday and also some other outlets last week. But and he wasn't getting his first NBA bucket when he made his first shot on Saturday for the Pistons. But nonetheless, good to have a relative newbie show out a little bit for the Pistons on Saturday. But the combination of Bikes possibly being okay in the backup point guard slot, and it's too early to say that he will be, but right, maybe if that happens for a while and Reggie is healing on the correct schedule, possibly the Pistons could save themselves an asset going forward. But not just a win, but a win in terms of atmosphere as well for the Pistons on Saturday night. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men in that coveted age group of 18 to 44, then this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Schuch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
Matt Schuch, your host, back with you here on Locked On Pistons. And we're going to talk a little bit later about the Avery Bradley situation and also look ahead to the next few weeks of Pistons basketball. But like I mentioned, my parents were in attendance on Saturday night at Little Caesars Arena, and I talked to them and wanted to pass along their thoughts as the older set. So maybe if you have your folks that want to go to a game, or maybe you are the folks that we're talking about listening here to Locked On Pistons and wanted to get the perspective from the baby boomer era about what they thought, first timers that, you know, prefer usually the nights in house as opposed to out of the house. But we got them out of the house to go check out the Pistons and the Spurs for a nice win on Saturday night. They parked at the MGM Grand Casino and took cabs to the game. Their phones, maybe like some of your parents are, they're not quite Uber ready or Lyft ready, so they took the other option. And another option that I'd pass along that is maybe one of those parking apps, such as ParkWiz. They're specialing around stadiums as well, and seeing if you get discounted parking a short walk away. I actually checked ParkWiz on Saturday night before the game. They had $11 and $10 parking pretty close. Although in this winter weather, maybe it's better to not walk at all and just get that Uber, maybe even from the suburbs if you're coming from there, or a different part of the city if you're coming from there as well. My parents, they were pleased about everything about Little Caesars Arena. My dad is a huge Red Wings fan throughout his whole life, so he liked the nods to the old days for the Wings on the concourse and even for the Pistons as well, and the huge paintings of some of the old players that they have too, some of the photos blown up as well. They were up in the top row of the second deck and said, my mom did say it was a little disconcerting. She said it reminded her of when they had Lions season tickets high up in the Silverdome in the early 1980s. So anything that reminds you of the Lions in the early 1980s, although they did have that one good season before my time, obviously, but they always talk about the another one bite in the dust team and how excited that got the Detroit Lions fan base for a couple months there. I remember some similar years that we've had since that time as well. But it was an outing with church folks. So my dad said he had 8 different beers. I'm just kidding about that, by the way. He didn't have 8 different beers. But he did say that there were all sorts of beer options, which I will attest to from the time that I went to Little Caesars Arena for a game. He split us, my folks split a sandwich from one of the restaurants. They said as far as stadium prices go, the $12 or $13 paid for it was not all that bad. So a positive experience for Mr. and Mrs. Schuch. They said they'll be back. Maybe not very soon, but at some point, and maybe to check out a Red Wings game too. Maybe we'll set them up with some tickets to check out Jeff Blashill and the boys as they try to get out of the basement and possibly make a run at making the playoffs again. I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know. Maybe they'll have a good 2018 for the Winged Wheel boys there. But I wanted to thank my folks for passing along that info. They also said the crowd of 19,671, which is 94% capacity of the 21,000 that Little Caesars Arena can hold for a Pistons game. It was pretty rocking, and they didn't have that early season lull feel that was kind of the narrative for the early season Piston home games. So maybe they're getting over that a little bit there in downtown. And on a Saturday night, holiday weekend, the Lions already mathematically eliminated, so the Pistons kind of take center stage there. And, of course, you had a good team in town with the Spurs. Maybe that didn't hurt the attendance and turnout there as well. But speaking of good teams, Houston, one of the NBA's best, will be in town on Saturday night. I'm interested to see what the turnout's like there for that one, Pistons and Rockets. Although they won't be in Houston, they won't be at near at full strength, and we'll tell you all about that as well as some thoughts about the next couple of weeks for the Pistons here on Locked On Pistons. I know we talked a little bit about Jim Caldwell at the top of the show, and maybe some of you are annoyed that I took the time on Locked On Pistons to talk about that, but the place to get all the informed Detroit Lions coverage is Locked On Lions. They call them sister stations and sister podcasts more, but I like to call it my brother station is Matt Derry, the former WDFN and 105.1 and 97.1 The Ticket radio host. You know Matt Derry, Diesel. He hosts Locked On Lions. It's the best Locked On Network podcast that I've listened to. I listen to it every day. He was breaking down the coaching candidates and giving some nice words about Jim Caldwell as well. It's going to be a big month for the Lions as they look for the replacement at head coach. So a plug there. please do listen to and subscribe to Matt Derry as he hosts the Locked On Lions podcast, one of the best out there. So a real pro too. And thanks for plugging our show on his as well. I really appreciate that, as I'm sure his audience could spill over to ours a little bit and vice versa. So give some support to them. Follow him on his social media channels as well. I know it. And Twitter, he's at Derry Speaks. So go ahead and give him a follow there as well. But schedule-wise for the Pistons, Wednesday at Miami, Friday at Philadelphia. And what I'm calling, why not? We'll just throw it out there. It's the biggest game of the year so far. The Pistons are 0-2 against the 76ers. We all know about Ben Simmons. I'm not a big Joel Embiid guy just because of all the crap he talks about Andre Drummond. And he's one of our guys, and it's time for Andre to knock him down a little bit. I say our guys. I didn't want to sound too much like a fan there, but I do support Andre Drummond in his battles against Joel Embiid, as Embiid acts a little bit too cool for what he's accomplished in the NBA so far, which is basically next to nothing. So it would be important for the Pistons to send a little message on the road on Friday night. And then Saturday at home against the Houston Rockets. And then the Pistons will be on the road next week for three games at New Orleans on Monday against Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. A rare chance for Pistons fans to catch those guys unless you're a league pass, the person who watches all the games. But nice to see those talented big men from Kentucky teaming up and doing nice things down in the Big Easy. The Pistons will be at Brooklyn on Wednesday for a game that not as big of a easy win as you might think going into the season, as the Brooklyn Nets are playing pretty well lately. And speaking of playing well lately, the Pistons will then be at the Chicago Bulls on Saturday night to play here in the Windy City where I live, also on my birthday on January 13th, Saturday night as well. But back to that Houston game, it was reported on Monday that James Harden, the MVP front runner along with LeBron James, he's got a grade 2 hamstring strain and will be reevaluated in 2 weeks as well. Good news for Detroit, and I know it's weird that we cheer for injuries sometimes on the opponents that we have coming up against them soon. But the Pistons will play the Rockets on Saturday, and they will be without James Harden. And, of course, Golden State, good news for them too, as they're trying to hold Houston off for the one seed in the Western Conference. And what is shaping up to possibly be an interesting little series maybe later on down the line, as we can already talk about some of the Western Conference powers meeting in the playoffs, because that's just how it goes in the NBA right now. You can kind of pick who the conference finalists are going to be if you've been paying attention for the last few years. But the Rockets still have Chris Paul as lead guard without Harden, so certainly no slouch of a team there. We'll be talking more about the Rockets later in the week as Saturday's game gets closer. But we'll see also when Avery Bradley returns from the injury that he has, the groin injury that's kept him out for a few games. The Pistons were saying that he might be available for Wednesday against the Heat. I haven't heard anything otherwise quite yet. But that's not the only reason that Avery's groin has been in the news. As an unlikely source reported on the Pistons on Friday, was TMZ said that Bradley went into a confidentiality agreement, which apparently did not work out because TMZ got a hold of all this stuff. But TMZ says that he went into agreement with a woman who accused him of sexual assault last May during the playoffs when Avery Bradley was with the Boston Celtics. So, by the way, this is a problem for the Celtics, not the Pistons. Just kidding. But the report also said that the woman was a reality TV star. And with all things TMZ, there's kind of some sketchy details about the settlement. They are reporting that a $400,000 figure was discussed at one point, but they were not confirming that that was the amount. But also TMZ says, quote, "We're told that the final figure was high." By the way, Avery Bradley, very importantly, through a representative, denied the whole story. Now, according to TMZ, the woman involved claimed Bradley sexually assaulted her while she was passed out drunk. And this is not the type of stuff that we want to talk about a lot on Locked On Pistons. We want to stay on the court and talk about basketball. But when it becomes such a big story, we got to bring these kind of things up. We don't know what happened back in May. We do know that Avery Bradley should probably get some of that settlement money back either way. But it's certainly, and I don't want to make light of what is a serious situation. The Pistons, athletes, they're not who we hope for them to be sometimes. And again, these are just allegations against Avery Bradley. We don't know. We have no reason to. I don't know him personally. I don't know this woman. I don't know who she is. Don't know her personally. I have no reason to doubt either sides of it. Of course, this is one of those situations that you take at face value and realize you probably will never know exactly what happened. But of course, a six-figure settlement being discussed. And again, you can call into question the reputability of TMZ, but these reports are usually more correct than not. And as time goes on. But if you're talking about a six-figure settlement for someone to be quiet about something, then that's an admission of guilt. I'm not saying that was the case here, as we don't know the how true the report is or anything like that. But Avery Bradley's been a hard worker on the court, and up until Friday has been everything you'd hope for to root for in as a fan, but this kind of thing obviously makes it tough. Also, there were sexual assault accusations made the day before against Miguel Sano of the Minnesota Twins, and I bring this up because it kind of crossed my mind as I read some of that news. After going through the checklist of why that kind of thing, that when I saw it, is such a bummer. You're starting, of course, with the victim. If what she said happened and indeed happened in the Sano case and the Bradley case, that's the worst part about this, and the most important part about this as well, is it's a serious thing that, you know, our society has to talk about over and over again, and has to, and for good reason. I'm not saying that talking about is the bad part. The bad part's the action, and we need to do whatever we can to teach our young people and old people and everyone that this is, kind of behavior is obviously unacceptable. But the fans of the Twins, to a lesser extent, cross my mind as well. It sucks that that's what it's like being a sports fan these days, is you have to read this kind of stuff and then go to the park and cheer on the player with that maybe in the back of your mind sometimes, the, you know, Miguel Cabrera and some of the alcohol issues in past seasons come to mind when I think about this kind of stuff as well. It reminds us to keep the proper perspective. And what we're talking about here on Locked On Pistons, it's fun and games, it's a diversion, it's something we all enjoy, and it's a nice community we have here. But it's just, like I said, fun and games. So sometimes we've got to keep the glowing praise about athletes as humans to a minimum. We can respect and talk about the good and the bad about them on the court, but we don't know these guys, and certainly we think that the Pistons are good dudes by and large, but maybe they aren't. And the focus in 2008 should be about being better people ourselves and role models for the young people in our lives, and shine a light on these kinds of bad behaviors if they're out there, if we know of things like this or other negative behaviors that we need to pass along and prosecute when necessary or whatever else. Again, these are just allegations on Avery Bradley, but those are kind of the small steps that we can make in these times we have these days. And if 2017 showed me anything, we've got a long way to go to get our country and our society back on a forward-moving path. But we can try to get there. And trying to get there, that means that you should be listening to Locked On Pistons every single day. You should be spreading the word and rating us on iTunes, following us on all the social media channels, including our new Facebook page at LockedOnPistons.MattShook, as well, MattShoch. LockedOnPistons.MattShook. Sorry about that. So, once again, Draft Wednesday coming up on Wednesday. Get on the draft.com or the draft app. Use promo code LOPistons. Join us in our private Draft Wednesday contest, which you can be invited to by following me on the app at Matt Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Also, we'll be talking on Wednesday's show about the Miami Heat, as the Pistons will be down in South Beach taking on them for their first game of 2018. Also on Twitter, you should be following me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, Locked On Pistons Twitter feed, the Locked On NBA Network Twitter feed at Locked On NBA Net as well. You should be following them. And I want to thank you guys for listening. Happy New Year to you all, and we'll talk to you all again soon.